Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today.
Hi, it's Demetrius.
Hey, Demetrius, it's Mark. They're in.
Nice. Taking it to the next level.
Launching phase two of Gable Media on October 7th.
My name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning, everyone.
And you're listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, this crazy weekend on the national stage, I'm sure everyone's heard about Trump's run-in with COVID, and what jumped out to me, I have previously heard about him making a trip to Walter Reed, and I think that was the first time that I recall hearing the name Walter Reed. And I've heard, you know, it's a hospital that presidents and military and people have gone to, so it's like in one ear and out the other, didn't really think anything about it. And then this time, it really stood out because people started talking about it more and more and going into more detail. And I was hearing more about it. And the entire facility is a 243-acre campus with 100 clinics and specialty facilities. And it's run by about 7,000 staff members for military personnel and their families. And it provides care for senior government officials, including the president and vice president. So there's a specific suite, which is the presidential suite, and they call it Ward 71. And
Ward 71.
Yeah.
I wonder what the significance of that is.
I'm sure there's something. But it's a, and this is what stood out, and I was like, this is why I want to bring it up, talk about it today. So it's a 6-room suite, and it has a ICU, intensive care unit, a living room, dining room, at least 2 bedrooms, office, and secure conference room. So I think that's actually 7, but it says 6 for some reason. And then somewhere in there, apparently, there's a chandelier.
Chandelier.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a super luxurious space. And it appears to me that this is only used very rarely, and it seems like a lot of space for a, you know, once in a 10-year use. So let's start there. What do you think about that much space being occupied for one president, or one person every 10 years? Do you think that's an efficient use of space?
Well, I mean, if you think about it logically and just from the top, probably not, right? I mean, it doesn't make the most sense. But if you think about what it takes for the president, regardless of who it is and how we feel about those individuals, but just the president in that capacity, mm-hmm. there's probably, even, you know, if they're in decent health mm-hmm. and they're just getting checkups or whatever the deal is, they've still got to have secure meeting rooms because they have to have conversations and calls, you know, if they're in capacity to be able to do so.
Yeah.
Have those types of deals. You probably have a lot of people staff wise that are there that are monitoring things. So, you know, I don't know if it's probably being utilized the way we might be imagining it, meaning it's just like a resort and people are sleeping and spend the night and hanging out, right? I mean, which it probably could be. Don't get me wrong. It's probably pretty nice.
Yeah.
But when you think about, you know, they probably have whoever it is in there cooking food in there, because you can't have, I mean, if you think about it from a security standpoint, you can't have random people just keep coming to this room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like I would imagine it's very isolated and hunkered down, right? The people that come in are pretty much in and that's it.
Yeah.
Except for some super high level clearance people that come in and out, you know, with guards everywhere and that type of deal. So I would imagine it's almost part of a floor that's isolated, which makes sense from a security standpoint.
Correct. Right?
And I don't know that. Trust me, I'm not a security
expert,
but I've watched enough movies to figure it's probably better to have like a section that's, you know, whatever, jokingly. Right.
Yeah.
So that probably makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the family might be there or whatever, because then again, you got security issues for the family. You know what I mean? All these other kind of things that you're looking at. So I would look at it almost as like a more of a security isolation situation than space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of probably how I would see it. Again, from the top, do they need 2,500 feet or whatever it is? Probably not. But then again, if you look at it from a tactical standpoint, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, you know, in that regard, it makes sense. And then of course you're wondering if, you know, we know what the president is supposedly there with right now. So how close can people be or not? Those people were probably already within that realm anyway. So they probably were, you know, exposed, you know what I mean? Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it's more so like an isolated scenario where they can still run the country. That's my guess.
Yeah. It was, you're right that there's a, you know, limited access. Not even the doctors have full access to this space. There's, you know, they limit the doctors that can go in there, and they're, you know, under close watch when they do go in. The ones that do, you know, they have the background checks, and they basically have to go through some sort of security clearance themselves, and they're pre-approved to have access to the space and to provide care.
Yep.
So the conference room, they have like secure devices all throughout and protection, like you mentioned, to allow work to continue in the event that there is, you know, they're able to continue to work out of that facility.
Because I guess, I mean, like, what would the alternative be, right? Like, if you think about it, like, is it just having a wing or, you know, like a full-on emergency medical facility in the White House? I mean, that's a possibility, right?
Yeah.
But I think there would be a lot of upkeep in the equipment and all that other kind of stuff that you would have to do there consistently, as opposed to you have a location where you're always doing that. Mm-hmm. And then you just, there's probably some kind of agreement, obviously, with Walter Reed that section is for them and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's subsidized somehow, or who knows, right? I mean, clearly, right?
So from what I understand, it's sort of run by the White House in some capacity, doesn't make sense. In my opinion, I would think that you would just want that. So from what I understand, the White House has its own medical sort of fit out there in
triage,
the building,
trauma thing, something like that.
To some capacity, they can handle quite a bit there at the White House. But this is like a full intensive care facility.
Well, yeah. I mean, which, like, think about it just even from a layman's deal, right? You go to the doctor's office, you know, one of my knee surgeries, it's like, okay, now you got to go get an MR, you know, we do an X-ray here, but now you got to go to an MRI here. And then you got to, you know what I mean? Like there's so much stuff that could be needed that it's like, I don't think you can have, you know, quote unquote, one of everything there. You know what I mean? So to me, it makes, from an efficiency standpoint, it makes way more sense to have it on site somewhere else, where you're going to have access to all those things should you need to. You know what I'm saying? Instead of spending just like millions and millions of dollars on something that you may never need, that only one person can utilize. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think only one person is utilizing this.
I don't think all the equipment's up on that floor.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm sorry. So that's what I'm saying. So instead of bringing all the equipment from the hospital to the White House,
gotcha,
having to have the myriad of different things that would go, because I don't even know, but there's a lot of stuff, right? And like super expensive stuff, plus all the different, you know, protective things, right, from radiation and this and that, all those other kind of things that go along with it. You already have the cell built for that here. So it makes sense to just bring the person and some extra space there to the rest of that. So from a logistics standpoint, I would actually think that probably makes more sense. Cause again, that's what I'm saying. I think the only alternative would be to have everything at the White House. And I don't, from a cost standpoint and efficiency standpoint, to me, that doesn't make as much sense, because I would argue, the equipment costs a lot more than that 2,500 square foot suite at the hotel, you know, or at the hotel. It's got a deck pool with overlooking it. Anyway, but you get my point.
Yeah.
So that I would just look at. I think it would be worth looking at from that perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Huh.
Did I hit you with one sideways there? Like,
no, I mean, I guess you'd have to look at, you know, the direct cost of, like, are they really flipping that equipment frequently within the hospital? Is that equipment rotating quickly in that, you know, if they did have it at the White House, would they have to switch it out every whatever 10 years just to have the newest?
Probably not. But I think if you look at the medical facility from an industry, like, or the medical industry, it's billions of dollars. Yeah. So that to me means there's either updates or newfangled stuff or whatever's going on. I mean, every year there has to be, right? Because it's a business.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, whether or not it's better now than it was 10 years ago for whatever particular machine there was, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I got to imagine there is, because even cars get better year after year, right? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty basic technology in comparison. Mm-hmm. So I would think there's consistent updates that have to happen to that. And we certainly know there's parts of the government and everything else where it's like you get grants to utilize those funds and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or federal help to utilize those funds and those types of things. So there's a reason for it to keep getting better and better. And there's a reason for them to keep rotating things.
Yeah.
Or updating or adding or however you want to, you know. And not only that too, I mean, think about it. If you're at the White House, you're flying in doctors or whatever the deal is. What happens, like, if you think you need this, but also you need this specialist? Mm-hmm. Well, now you got to bring that person in, you know, imagine the checkpoints and picking them up and locating them and doing all those other kind of things. Mm-hmm. So at least when you're there I remember when I went one time, I ended up having to get a plastic surgeon because of something like cut my eyelid, believe it or not, like just missed my eye.
Yeah.
When I was there, it was like, oh, shoot, we need this person. Well, I could actually get that person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's somebody on staff all the time there. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it might be the person you need, but or the person you would want.
Yeah.
They're available.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's an efficiency and immediacy ability from that standpoint too.
Yeah.
Again, I think the logistics make more sense. Maybe not from the financial side. I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe it's wasteful to have that, maybe needing once a year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's just the president gets seen there, or is it the VP and the House and, you know, all these other kind of I'm not sure.
It sounds like the president gets that. Maybe.
Just that.
Maybe the vice president. I think the vice president does have access to it.
Where would the Jack Bauer guy in the, what was that show? Where it was like
24.
No, it was 24, but the other one he did, where it was the random guy that became president. He was like the last of the last of the last. It was a great show.
I didn't watch it, but...
Anyway, but he was like the random dude that like should have never been president,
last in line.
And, just get to use it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I think without that info, it'd be hard to determine. But just based off of the logistics and having the availability of different things.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to having it at the warehouse.
I think the thing to me that makes the most sense of what you said is the flexibility to reach out to the different specialists because they're all there. Yeah. And, you know, the headache of getting clearance or, you know, bringing them in maybe.
Yeah.
But I think the actual cost of logistics, it would probably be more efficient to have it there in the White House.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly. But
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So
I gotta think there's somebody that ran those numbers at some point, right?
That's well above So this originally was in D.C., this facility. Originally, it started in 1909. But in 2011, they moved to Bethesda, which is Maryland. So not that, and it's not that far. If anyone was watching the coverage, they took a helicopter flight in Marine One. It was like 10 minutes or something like that. Just really short flight. And, so it's not far.
I mean,
by
for all of us just to jump into our helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right? Yeah. You know, so if you have your helicopter out front in your driveway,
yeah, exactly.
It's just a 10 minute flight. But so now it's further away, and to me, the logistics of getting the your Secret Service and all of your staff, it just sounds like a lot. And then those people are going back and forth because there's not enough space for all of them to stay. Although the chief of
staff... Maybe there is now. I mean, maybe there is, though.
Well, the chief of staff can stay there, and then the lead physician has a room. I think those are the two other rooms that are available there.
And see, to me, that makes sense. Uh-huh. From a security standpoint, that makes sense. It's like, once you're in, you ain't getting out. You know what I mean? And we feed you here. We do, you know what I mean? Like the whole bit, like whatever you need is here.
Yeah.
To just make sure there's no, you know, spy style movie crap going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's just, it to me, it makes sense.
Yeah. So I think Trump is the first person, because this facility opened in 2011, I believe. Was the first person to stay in this specific facility. Okay. But he's the first person to go to the, quote, Walter Reed Center, including, you know, its previous location in D.C. in 39 years. First sitting president in 39 years. The last president was Reagan after he was shot, which I do not even recall that he was shot in an assassination attempt. In 1981.
My son knows more about history than I do. Literally, like, when we get asked a question, I look at him, I'm like, hey, what do you know?
you went over it most recently.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too funny.
So past presidents that have stayed at the other location were Nixon, Reagan, Dwight D. Eisenhower. So Nixon was treated for a staph infection in 1960 while he was actually serving as vice president. So yeah, vice president. So
there you go. VP gets access, go there. Right?
Yeah. 1968, after he left office, Dwight D. Eisenhower went there for coronary artery disease and congestive heart failure, and he had eventually passed there in 1969. And then several family members and of U.S. presidents and high-ranking officials have, I think they go to the facility, like the entire Walter Reed. Yeah. But I don't think they stay in the presidential suite.
Well, I mean, I don't think they can.
Yeah.
Right? Now that I think about that, that's why they call it that.
Yeah.
The family, probably maybe a couple super high-ranking people, and that's probably it.
Yeah. So it was just interesting to hear more about this over the weekend and read a little bit more into it. But again, when I first heard it, I was like, really? Six rooms? A chandelier? Is that really necessary?
The stuff like that is just dumb, right? I mean, I think that's just dumb. But when you think about it, when you start naming off the six rooms, right?
Yeah.
So you have two bedrooms of sort, maybe three, right? So the president, like the master, right? The president's. They said the physician, and then what was the other one?
And then the chief of staff.
Chief of staff, right? Which makes sense. And then, so that's three of the rooms.
Yeah.
Then you've got the secure room, conference room four.
Yeah.
And then a dining room to eat and hang, you know, and whatever. So when you think about it from that perspective, kind of like.
Yeah.
But to your point, if it's not used very often, it's a whole lot of unused space that's upkept that could be used more efficiently, you know, turned into 50 bedrooms or 50 patient rooms or whatever it is. You know, with a curtain. But other than that, to me, I would say it probably doesn't set me off hearing that because for whatever reason in my mind, and I'm like, whether it's Trump or it's whoever the heck it is, like left, right, independent, I don't care.
Yeah.
To me, from a security standpoint, I think that makes sense. From the availability of facility, intellect, security, you know, all just being able to have a hub. That's really what it is, right? They're trying to build a hub anywhere they're going to be, right? So your hub is there and it's secure. You know, Air Force One is a hub and it's secure. You know what I mean? Like all those kind of things.
Yeah.
I think it kind of makes sense.
Maybe. I'm not 100% convinced. I want to look at the numbers.
I'd rather have an ice rink at the White House than a hospital facility. I mean, if I ever make a God, you know, heaven forbid, you know what I mean? I'd be like, no, we need an ice rink. Like, I may be the only guy that's going to use it. But
I could not
imagine. I would be interested because they have a basketball court, tennis court, swimming pools, obviously.
Do they have swimming pools?
Yeah. I'm pretty positive that because a lot of past history presidents were swimmers. I do know that.
Okay.
For fitness.
Yeah.
I'd be interested as hell at seeing what their like workout gym facility would be.
Yeah.
I really would. That could be interesting to see what that's like, right?
So we're gonna.
I know Obama played basketball, so they had basketball courts. I know that.
Yeah.
And he got taken out by the Chinese ambassador or something one time, didn't he, or something like that?
I don't remember that.
I'm pretty positive he got like cut or something. I think there was something like that. You'll look it up.
Yeah, check it out.
What were you gonna say?
We're gonna do an episode on the White House. One of these.
Oh, okay.
Episodes. One of our longer form episodes.
It's timely.
Let's see if
we can get a tour behind the scenes.
Yeah, get some insider to give
no,
us.
No, man, we're cool.
And then the last thing
Mexican I Mexican and a black guy walk into the White House.
Oh, God. I'm good.
Don't you dare cut that out. Don't cut that out.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, I'll just leave it there. thank you for joining me, Jason. Good conversation
Are
again.
You sure?
To the listeners, thank you for listening.
I'm sorry.
We have an episode coming out tomorrow. So check that out. It will be on fire safety, fire rated construction. And other than that, we will talk back with you on Express on Thursday. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.